welcome to Breaking the Rules, Vanderpump Ones, and it's just me today. Sorry if you're disappointed. The Hubs is really, really busy right now, so I am going to line up a few guests, though. I've been talking with Israel and did send him a list of questions, so definitely want to get him on as he's playing a little bit more of a presence in some of the upcoming episodes. So definitely have some guests lined up, and I'm also going to be joining joining Rob from Vanderpump Robs to recap probably around finale time. So definitely tune in for that whenever that happens. He had a live show in California at the Pack Theater this weekend, and it was so good. I'm so excited to see some takes from that live show. He had Peter Madrigal there, and he had Lindsay from Vanderpod Recaps was there. Molly was there, and they said it was an amazing show. I did hear a couple of the takes, so I'm just excited to share more of that with you guys. When it comes to headlines, there wasn't a whole lot of huge headlines. Really, honestly, we ended up making the headlines over the Easter holiday, as crazy as that sounds. And so for all of you that follow us, you probably already saw this, but if you didn't, we had a post up that was about the, it was a Rachel Goes Rogue podcast clip, and it was regarding the one that her PR rep Juliet did, where she was answering questions about things that happened, you know, during the time that Rachel was in the facility or whatever. And she was just going deep and talking about kind of what she dealt with and why there wasn't a response to a lot of the stuff that was happening. And she made a claim that she really felt that Ariana knew. How could she not know? It was kind of like, it's woman's intuition is kind of the way she said it. She was like, I just feel like if you have thoughts and people have said things to you, and I'll kind of touch on this like throughout the episode recap too, because I did put some or a little bit into my notes. But she kind of just was saying, you know, I just really feel like, why would you wait till that moment to go through his phone? If you had the code, why wouldn't you go through it before? Here's the thing. I put this clip up because I really didn't agree with that. I think that she went through his phone all the time. If you remember, Tom said in the clip, whenever he talked about her seeing the video or finding the video on his phone, he was like, I would normally delete these things. Well, you wouldn't record it to then immediately delete it. And that means that you thought someone was going to see it, and it was, you know, it was derogatory in nature, and you knew that you were caught if someone saw it. So you have to delete that. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be caught. And so for that clip, I put it up, and over the Easter weekend on Saturday, Sheena's husband, Brock Davies, hit the comments, and what he said to Juliet was, damn, I would have thought by now Raquel would have gotten a better PR, but apparently her PR just wants to leverage her working relationship for what? Clout? Don't ever come for Ariana in this situation, you callous cunt. And it was a C, numeral sign T. There's a lot of stuff wrong with this. First of all, he called her Raquel. So he's like still extremely mad at her. He spelled Ariana's name wrong. And why are we now? Why are you now coming to the defense? Like, this is not, she didn't say anything. Juliet didn't say anything about your wife. She said it about Ariana. Like, why are you coming to the defense of Ariana and calling someone a see you next Tuesday on social media? Like, it's just so ick for me. Like, really, really ick. And I know there was a lot of people in the comments. I know we have a lot of Aussie listeners that said it's just not that big of a deal in Australia to use that word. Here's the thing, though. He's not in Australia. He's in North America. And he's saying it to a North American woman on social media in a derogatory way. And like, if you want to come here and you want to play like you're this public figure, then you have to come at women with respect. And I really, it just gave me the total ick. It doesn't matter if you're defending Ariana. It doesn't matter if you're like, what's going on? There's no reason that I am like okaying or like co-signing on you saying that to another woman. Like, you just don't have the right. Another woman you've not even met. Like, anyway, Juliet, I've talked to her several times. She's very laid back and understanding, if I'm being honest. She really doesn't care if you like Rachel. She really honestly told me she didn't have any malintent toward Brock. She understands, you know, what he's doing for likes and content and whatnot. So, you know, that really struck me as very, very classy, way classier than myself, because I would not have responded in the way she did, but damn, it was classy. She said back to him, she made a post, when individuals resort to name-calling instead of engaging in constructive or respectful dialogue, it reflects more on their character and parenting values than on the person they're addressing. As a father to a young daughter, I encourage Brock Davies to reflect on an example he sets in addressing women he's never met on social media for expressing their opinions. The internet is forever. I always invite respectful dialogue at It Girl Publications. So I think that was a very respectful and classy response. I tend to agree with her. I grew my children up to understand that, you know, it's not, you're going to have shit happen to you every single day. Stuff happens to you in life every single day. And the only thing that matters is your reaction to what happens. It doesn't matter what it does to you. It matters what you say or how you react and act in that moment or in the days following. So it's really something that I pride myself on, that in, and you know, like I said, I don't know whether I would have been that classy. Like, I don't always follow my own advice. That's why we're parents, and we tend to try to give our children advice that is better, to better themselves than what we are. And that's kind of where I was, honestly, in saying that to my kids and growing up. And really, it causes you to reflect and take a second before you say something, because that comment he made, it was only up for about 2 hours and he deleted it. So he regretted it at some point. So here's my thing, like, just think before you act and you make derogatory statements toward women on social media, because you already have a stigma because you have been arrested for domestically, physically assaulting your ex-wife. And so you already have that stigma on yourself. You do not need to continue to make any kind of stigma on yourself where you're addressing women in that manner. It just seems aggressive to me. Like, the way he addresses people is aggressive at times. But that was kind of all of the news that was this week. It was Easter, so, and happy Easter, or He has risen to all that. Celebrate in whatever way you celebrate. I am not very religious, and it's kind of weird because, and I'm not saying it's kind of weird that you are or I'm not religious. It's just that I'm not religious, and our son is very religious. My ex-husband, his dad was a, or his grandpa, but who raised him, was a pastor. And so he got that instilled to him at a young age, very young though, because we split up when he was young. And I always encourage them to be themselves. So he definitely continued to grow in that aspect. And no matter where we were, we would always make sure he found a church and would get to church and he stayed active and involved in the church, even though we weren't. So it is possible to allow your children to have whatever religion or, you know, be involved in organized religion that you are not. And it still works. You can still make it work. But anyway, happy holidays. Season 11, episode 9, Kiss Kiss Revenge Bang. Love this title. You guys know I love me some fucking titles. At least I hope you know I love me some titles, because I work really, really hard on the titles of these episodes. The beginning was, you know, the little tidbits, and the first one was James picking out Allie's clothes, and never in a million years would. Now, do I ask Nick, hey, how's this look or whatever? Yeah, 100%. And sometimes I take his advice, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going for that right now. But I would never let him pick out my clothes all the time. Now, steaming my clothes, ooh, that would be really nice. I don't know. Is this love bombing? Like, what is this? Is this like the new norm? Do men pick out your clothes? I don't know. She said she couldn't do it that well. I don't know. James did talk about his stint at Hotel Ziggy that night. So it's going to be a good one. We know we like a good James DJ event at Hotel Ziggy. Billy is coming over to Sandoval's house. And Sandoval and Ariana's, I mean, it's, I'm going to say Ariana's house whenever I'm talking about Ariana, and I'm going to say Sandoval's house when I'm talking about Sandoval. He's cleaning up his room, making his bed. His room is actually cleaner than hers. Maybe because he more freely lives in the rest of the house, where she really kind of stays put in the room more so than what he does. I'm sure deliberately. She makes it known that she's going to be bringing tea that night to the Hotel Ziggy event. And he's like, oh, it's okay. I'm just living with my roommate. I can totally bring her in, which gross. That's not cool. Billy says living with the mom or living with the ex-girlfriend, and Tom asks which is worse. Living with the ex-girlfriend is worse, but living with the mom is a deal breaker for me. 100% deal breaker. If you don't have any autonomy, why do I want you? And if it's for like the purpose of taking care of her or something, that's a different story, but it's also probably a different situation. Tom does tell Billy about drafting up the letter of intent that he sends. And this letter's definitely talked about throughout this episode. It's talked about on the after show. Ariana seems to say that it was not, you know, formal. It was just a letter of intent. It didn't talk about the furniture. It didn't talk about any particulars. And I mean, that isn't that what a response is, though, that you would just respond and be like, okay, well, what are we doing with this? And no, I'm not agreeing to that fucking price. You're out of your ever loving mind. But it's still a response. So I guess that's where it comes in, that, you know, he wasn't getting any response. He was continuing to pay the bills. I mean, was he getting the same feedback when he sent over things about paying things? It just is really, really odd to me. And I know there's been some conversation on a lot of the posts on our Instagram. I really love the engagement. So all of you listeners that are on our page that are, you know, engaging in that conversation, thank you so much. It helps me in understanding the different perspectives and being able to come to you guys with, you know, all sides of things. Because we all know I come at it episode at a time. You know, it's the greater picture, but it's also an episode at a time. And, you know, I mean, I don't particularly love some of these people, but I love the dynamic that all of their characters play together in this reality TV show. I just think that it to stay in that house and then also not pay any bills and say you're afraid or what is a fucking cowardly, bogus kind of move, because you're building contention by not paying the bills. So you're creating that atmosphere where it's building and making it worse for you to go down and be near him. Like, you know what I mean? And it was, I'm sure it's maybe it is intentional. I don't know. But I just feel like it definitely does not hit with me that you don't pay bills, you know, you don't want to have conversations about what happens next, and you're not responding to emails. And she's like, you shouldn't be sending me personal emails. Well, you won't speak to him. So I think he was just trying every single way possible. And am I taking up for him? Fuck no, I'm not taking up for him. Like, you have to send, if you're going to send her stuff and ask for fucking money, you have to send itemized. And if she sent you back and asked for itemized, then you gotta fucking send it. I don't know. It just comes across as really back and forth. And it's he said, she said shit. And we should be able to see that play out on camera with the two of you face to face instead of talking on the after show. That's where I have my big qualm about them not having conversations. I get it. She has a boundary, but put up that boundary, move out. Don't have, you know, go-tos making this, like, it's become a storyline for them to call in and see if they can go downstairs. Because that's where we transition. We transition into Ariana literally across the hall in her room, FaceTiming Ann about whether or not she can go downstairs, and then kind of, you know, asks her if she knows any personal assistants. Like, first off, you know plenty of people that have personal assistants or that could be your personal assistant. I feel like you did that because you knew she would say she wanted to be your personal assistant. So it was like a grab. But I mean, would I maybe do something that catty? Hell fucking yeah. I would have done it long before now, though. Like, maybe she wanted to play it out on camera a little bit, but I agree with Ariana and the hashtag save Ann. So regardless of whether she's doing it maliciously, like, these little digs, you may deserve. And that's just the game of life. Like, she's having to uproot herself. Everything changed about her future, you know, but everything also changed in a good way. So you have to look at the positives instead of always trying to look at the negatives in the situation. So I will tell you that she, when she's talking to Ann said that she was all fucked up on shrooms whenever she was having this scene and FaceTime conversation with Ariana. She said that she dropped them for the Taylor Swift concert. There was a lot of controversy because of me. I podcast listen a lot because of the clips that I put up for everybody on both pages and for these recaps. So during those podcast clips, I just bank things in the back of my head. And I remembered that Anne said on her podcast that she had worked or had told Tom one day that he had to give her time to take off so that she could get on Ticketmaster and get those tickets, and she secured them and he was okay with it. And then on his podcast, he said that he got her the tickets, and then he proceeded to talk about how, you know, he got her the Kyle Chan, the Karma earrings from the Taylor Swift Karma video, the ones that she was wearing in the video. Kyle Chan designed and made those earrings. I 100% know he definitely did this, and there's no doubt in my mind. Those earrings, fucking sweet. Kyle, OMG. I hadn't seen them until I went and looked at the video so that I could do a picture cut for that. But anyway, he acted like he got her the tickets because Kyle did those earrings. Kyle got her the earrings, which was 100% a wonderful gift. So that was amazing, but when I put up the clip, then I guess there was a lot of talk after I put up the clip on Reality Blurb, and Anne picked that up and she responded to it and said that she definitely wanted to say that Tom had paid her for the tickets. He Venmo'd her or PayPal'd her for the tickets for her birthday. So he did buy them, but he did not get them for her. She spent 3 hours on Ticketmaster acquiring those tickets. So it's you have to be careful at what words you use, because when you say got, that means you like got them for her, not you bought them, not you gave her money for her birthday and were like, hey, here's the money for those tickets, which by the way was an amazing gift. Those tickets were probably crazy. Anyway, the next scene is the iconic Schwartz and Lala scene at the juicer place. Schwartz says he's on a sober bender, and like, you know how people get drunk and tell their truths? I feel like Schwartz gets sober and tells his, because he sits down and spills a 10-year-old skeleton, actually 12, maybe 12-year-old skeleton of, he's like talking about how he doesn't really feel like everybody's being held accountable for their actions, like Sandoval is, and he's just over it. And, you know, I made out with Sheena in Vegas 10 years ago, and like nobody knows about that. Well, like, here's the thing, Schwartz. People can't get over things and move on from things or hold you accountable for them if you don't tell them, if they don't know. So this comparison was the stupidest shit I've ever heard of. Like, it made me laugh out loud. It's stupid. And I don't know. It just really, really, like, this is where we're going. And I hope that this was literal slip. I can't imagine. Schwartz is not like a, he's not very good at setting up scenes, as we saw last season when Sandoval tried to set him up for the Ariana bashing scenes. He's just not good at it. So it definitely came into play, and I don't think he was doing that here. So I don't think he's making a storyline. And, but it's, he's like post-Scandoval brain fog, and, you know, he's a makeout slut. I really do think he is a makeout slut. He definitely is. Another thing, why does everybody pay for Lala? It cracks me up. She's out with Ariana both times. You know, she pays for her, then Schwartz pays for her. It's like, is Lala the youngest? No, James is the youngest. So it just struck me. I was like, why is everybody like, no wonder Lala's buying the $3.1 million home and everybody else is buying like 1.5s. He says it's false equivalency. Yes, Schwartz, that's exactly what it is. Lala in her confessional though, she says that she does not know about this at all. Like, she really says she's like stunned. However, Sheena does say on, or Lala did say on her podcast that Sheena called her after watching this and was like, I told you about this. And then here we go again with me and my clips and bringing shit out of the woodwork. And Sheena responded to this on our Instagram page. So let me open that picture up as well so I can share that with you guys. She definitely was, I found, so not only did she tell Lala, and in this, like in her confessional, she says that she didn't tell anyone, Sheena, but she definitely told Jamie Oliver, and she definitely told Lala, because she called Lala and was like, oh yeah, Lala, I definitely did that. I don't know why you're acting surprised about it. So she absolutely called her out and, you know, told her that. Let me go grab it. So she said, I called her out. I put up both podcast clips, Lala's and Jamie Oliver's, in her Jamie Oliver podcast. And I put them up and I was like, with Sheena's clip saying she told no one. And Sheena responded and said, yes, after season 10 wrapped with Schwartz and Raquel saga, I told Lala and Jamie that he once tried to kiss me. I never told anyone when it happened, and that's what I was referring to in that interview. I never expected it to go further than those two brief convos. So she did respond and say that she's not lying, and, you know, because I did, I was like, pretty sure you told people. So she's saying that she told them after season 10 wrapped, and all of that shit happened. She wanted to, she said all the shit with Schwartz and Raquel. So them kissing. It's immediate though. Katie and Lala's house is the next scene. And Katie shows up and she tells her about it so fucking quick. It's like scene, next scene. I'm going to tell you about it, and this is what happened, and Katie is not okay with it. No woman is going to be okay with that. These are two people that you're going to have to continue to be around, and now you found out they were hiding this from you for the last decade. It's just, it's gross. It's trashy. Sheena said that she said that it's a drunken kiss, and it's not. You know, I don't know. I thought it was very telling that Lala was quick to go to Katie, and she tells that she goes to Katie first because she did not want Sheena to have the ability to make it pretty. Make it pretty. So she understands the capabilities of her friend, yet she's still her close friend. She did definitely, it's just a friendship that is, I feel like if Lala wasn't single, it may not be the greatest friendship. Like, it may be a little bit different. I don't know. Anyway, fast forward to Hotel Ziggy. Sheena, and I'm taking a big deep breath because this is going to be hard for me. Sheena, Brock, James, Allie, Ariana, Sandoval, and Kyle have all arrived. And Sheena is, you know, I don't understand the fad with keeping these pieces of hair hanging down in your face. I'm not a fan, guys. Just so you know. I'm not a fan. Schwartz and Joe arrived shortly after this. And I thought that Joe looked cute. Regardless of having her hat on, I feel like it's almost like a security blanket. Like, she can put it on and she doesn't feel like everyone can stare at her. It's like sunglasses for the kid that feels insecure in a room. And I get that. I've seen many a people who have a problem with this kind of social anxiety. So I completely understood where she was coming from. Sheena saying that she has no reason to like Joe. How about that she's coming in with Schwartz and you've been in her position before? That's a reason to like her. You use the reason that she was complicit in this affair as one of the reasons why you don't like Joe. However, you go on this episode to talk about how you and Max Boyens are such good friends. But Max Boyens and her would, or Max Boyens and Raquel and Tom would go out and double date at bars all the fucking time right under your nose. So how is that the same? How are you excusing what Max did and friends with him to the point where you share his location and worry about whether he gets home okay, but you're so pissed off at Joe that you can't even give her a chance as another woman to not ridicule and demean her on national fucking television? Please riddle me that, Sheena. Riddle me that one fucking time. I don't know. I told you guys this is going to be hard for me to talk about. The bullying was really, really ugly, really gross, calling her rat girl. Like, I literally made the picture of Sheena making that stupid duck face with her peace sign on the back of Katie's shirt when she said that rat girl, because at that point, both of you are rat girls. Like, you look like a rat girl, and your friend looks like a rat girl. Like, everybody looks like rat girls. It just was gross, you guys. It was so disgusting. I did not like it. Joe does not deserve that because she did not have the balls to approach. Like, Lala approached Ariana. Katie approached Ariana. Sheena approached Ariana. Who else approached Ariana and told her they thought something was going on between Raquel and Tom? Allie said she saw them out dancing at 1 o'clock, you know, after one in the morning. Like, all of these things were all excused. So who is the lonely friend of who came to your house for one holiday going to come up to you? Oh my God, this is the first time I've been invited to your house for a holiday, but let me come and tell you, your man's fucking your friend. My friend too. Let me just blow up this fucking holiday. I don't know. It just seems so stupid to make her wear that burden. She doesn't deserve to wear that burden. It's not her responsibility. Katie arrived. Of course, like I said, she was calling Joe a rat girl. She definitely looked hot. I loved the boots. I don't like shirt dresses, so I'm not a fan of the shirt dresses, but love the boots. Joe and Billy and T seem to be together. I can just imagine why. I'm sure they were all getting the same type of looks. They're definitely can hear them talking shit, and Joe in her confessional talking about the crack comment, and she did refer to it as ADHD. I don't know what the fuck that has to do with ADHD. There's nothing that I know. I mean, that really to me has to do with self-confidence and your ability to stand up for yourself. And that's okay, because that is not owned by everyone. Not everybody has those traits. And so sometimes you need somebody else to be that for you, or you don't need to be in those situations. I definitely think Sheena tells the girls about bullying Joe, ripping the hat off of her head when she came in. I can say that Lala defended Joe on her podcast. She said that it was a hat for a head, that she would have, a hat for a head, bitch, is what she said. She would have punched Sheena in her face. To me, that is pretty invasive. If you're pulling something off of my head, we are probably going to go somewhere. And Lala wears a lot of hats. So it just, I don't know. All of this rubbed me the wrong fucking way. It reminded me of Mean Girls. And like, Sheena is the ultimate Gretchen fucking Wieners. Like, they look alike and they act exactly alike. She just wants to do whatever she can to be part of the group. And sometimes that means demeaning others. And sometimes that means throwing your other folks under the bus or fucking them over. Joe did run away at one point crying, which is not surprising in this setting. She couldn't handle the ridicule and public display of, it's just nasty. And even Lala said she called Sheena an icy little bitch is what she called her. Billy does end up taking Joe out and really supports her. Kudos to her for doing that. Lala and Katie are sitting together with Ariana, and they end up telling Ariana about the Schwartz and Sheena kiss. Now here we go, guys. If you honestly think that 10 years ago, when Katie hated Sheena and Katie and Ariana didn't get along, that Ariana and Sheena were in Vegas making out and chilling drunk, and Schwartz tried to kiss her, if you think she did not tell Ariana about that shit, y'all are fucking crazy, man. She told Ariana about that. So Ariana acting surprised here is bogus as fuck. So that's, and it wasn't even good acting, by the way. That was not very good acting. Like, she immediately says, I made out with Sheena in Vegas. So you've been to Vegas, like, I don't know, I'm just going to throw a number out here, 50 fucking times, Ariana. And you go back and refer to the one time that Sheena also refers to is the same time that this Schwartz kiss happened. So you knew exactly when it happened. I made out with Sheena once in Vegas. Is this that time? Because, you know, we were all together at that time. So it just, I don't know. You knew. Bullshit, you knew. There's no way you didn't. Sandoval, though, comes over and, oh my God, if you had to pick one moment to come over and say something, like, why did you pick this to say? Like, if you're going to come over and be like, man, you look really pretty tonight. I just wanted to say hey to you guys, and I hope you guys have a wonderful night. Like, that's all you needed to do. When Brock was giving you advice that you needed to start a conversation, this is not what he meant. Not at all. It just made me laugh. He definitely asks about the email he sent with the intent, and she gives him an icy side face, which he deserves in this moment, 100%. She does not want to talk to you about that shit in front of her friends at a party. You're not responding to him, though, and you're not giving him an opportunity to talk to you anywhere else. So he was thrown off by you arriving at that gig at the Belmont in the last episode. So now he's like, oh shit, she's going to start coming around to where I am. So now I have my opportunity to say what I want to say. It just was distasteful. Bad timing, bad thing to say. For sure. And sorry, I think I feel a sneeze coming on. Sorry about that. Feel a little bit better. So Tom, it struck me as odd. I will go back just a second. Lala in her confessional, she really was like, trust me, bitch, you can afford an apartment. She's really angry in her confessionals. I feel like could this confessional or some of these when she's talking angry happened after finale. And I have some conspiracy theories or my own theories about finale. And everybody keeps saying on their podcast or in clips that the reunion was really, really bad and that the fourth wall dropped down. And my theory on the fourth wall drop in the reunion and what happened in finale is that I think that Lala calls out Ariana for not wanting to film things. And I think that it brings my mind back to last year whenever Lala said on her podcast, you remember the conversation that Lala and Ariana had at, I mean, I guess they were like standing and they were talking about when Tom wouldn't leave that party for Memorial Day and, or Labor Day. And he, you know, her grandma died and it was a choice or whatever. And Lala said, we had to stop filming. She was screaming at me. I had to leave, walk away. Production had to bring me back. Like, it was a whole ordeal. And that was also supposed to be finale. Remember, like, that was the dinner. The one where Rachel walked up to her and the diabolical conversation happened. Like, all of that happened there. And so she was refusing to film that scene and they had to talk her into it and all of this happened. Well, then she's refusing to film with Tom Sandoval at finale and have any conversation. So I think Lala was absolutely calling out at finale. She does this every fucking year. Every year we have the same shit happen where, you know, she's not wanting to film the things that are going on in her life. She does one thing off camera where she'll rip Tom a new fucking asshole. And then on camera, she won't speak to him, or she will, you know, act a different way or placate to the audience, is what Lala is saying in Reunion. And she says they dropped the fourth wall. So I'm assuming they're bringing up clips or bringing in things to show times when Ariana has refused to film or has acted a different way off camera than what she acted on camera. This is a theory of mine, guys. So this is not something that I have backhand knowledge of, but this is my theory and I'm sticking to it. We'll see if it plays out and I'm right. Tom makes a date with T and they're kind of just hitting it off and talking. I think this is definitely a for TV relationship. It was a way to get her name out there and a way for him to film. So I think it was a win-win situation for both of them. Katie takes Sheena aside. I feel like she waited till she was enough drinks in that she wanted to blindside her. And she basically tells her that, you know, Lala told me that you and Schwartz made out, you know, 10 years ago. And she's like, me and Schwartz? Schwartz said that? Shay and her were engaged at the time. She really tries to push it off like she was making out with Ariana during this trip and not the opposite. And that is weird. I feel like that's deflecting. She's deflecting in that moment. Sheena says that she didn't kiss him, that he kissed her, that he came over and kissed her, like pulled her aside. Like, here's my thing. She's like, it was a public event. He like pulled me over. It just feels like it was a public event and they were like caught up in the moment and they kissed. But in Sheena's confessional, you know, she did the, I never told anyone. Like I told you guys, she definitely told some people. Here's my thing on the, I shouldn't have told you, because Sheena is very pointed toward Katie. I wanted you guys to work out. I didn't want to be the one to tell you that. Da-da-da-da. No, you didn't want them to work out. You were the one who were like, he made out with my friend. Or you were the one that were like, Lala told me he made out with one of her friends. And like, you were throwing every accusation about Schwartz making out with people and being a makeout slut left and right. So you were not doing that. You just didn't want the fucking spotlight shown on yourself. And here's the thing. That's fine, because she was not your friend at that time. And you didn't need to be more aggressive. But when you became friends with her before you were in her wedding, you don't be a bridesmaid in someone's wedding and not tell them that you fucking had a drunken kiss with their fucking significant other. That's not how this works. And I'll tell you my other theory on this. I think my theory on the drunken kiss with Schwartz and Sheena is that last season, whenever Sheena was talking with the girls in season 10 about, you know, things that could happen between the group, and she was like, you know, talking about Raquel and Sandoval and being like, it's not like it was a drunken kiss at, or drunken makeout or drunken kiss at Coachella, blah, 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 blah. I think she was talking about herself when she was talking about, it's not like it was just a drunken kiss. She was referring to that exact thing because they had just referred to it over Christmas as a joke. So like, there you go. There you have it. I don't know. It just all kind of comes together as these theories in my head, as little tidbits that they drop over the years and seasons where they tell on themselves or they say something that will make them okay later. It's almost like planting a seed. James and Lala and Schwartz and Sandoval is the next scene, and they are at, well, it's just James and Lala and Schwartz, and Sandoval arrives fashionably late, and, you know, it's funny, Schwartz definitely says that he had a get-together with Joe, and Lala's like, do you kiss her? And he's like, no, it's kind of like me and you, only me and you haven't slept together yet. And she tells him that she would break his dick, which is hilarious. That's definitely a Lala line. Sandoval arrives and he's carrying a purse, which I had to say something about. If this is something that all Metro men do, that is wonderful and fine. I just am not attracted to a man carrying a purse. He tells them about Maya. He tells the story as the door was left open and Maya went inside. There was takeout in the bedroom and she ate it. I can tell you that it doesn't seem like that's the case. And Anne talked about this on her podcast. She definitely gave the spoof. She was there that day. The repair guy came. She went and got the ladder. She left Tom and the repair guy in the room to go run an errand. And when she came back, Maya was shut up in the room. So someone closed the door on the dog. It wasn't the door was left open. They closed the door. So you had to either know she was in there and close the door, or you had to not pay enough attention to know she was in there or know she was safe. I have a lot of problems with this because this is both of their faults. If Ariana doesn't trust you or think you're unsafe, you're not going to be able to have your paws on my fucking pet, period. I have 6 fucking dogs. I trust, like, they're my kids. I would never trust them with somebody that I do not feel safe with myself. So my dog would be kenneled or caged when I left the house. And if that's too long of a period of time and you need somebody to watch them, then you need to hire someone to do that. Like, these are all things, like, responsible things that you do as a pet owner. And, you know, apparently the dog gets into a lot because Schwartz immediately references the dog getting into 500 laxatives. Who the fuck has 500 laxatives? And how often are you taking laxatives? Like, holy bejesus. I have intestinal issues and I am not taking laxatives that much. I don't know. It's just fucked up. That's fucked up. It's both of their fucking faults. I just am more pissed off at Tom because instead of telling the truth about it on screen again, he said the door was left open to try and make himself look better. Just say, I shut the door and I inadvertently shut the dog in there. I didn't know she was in there. Like, say that. I didn't look. I didn't pay attention that she wasn't in there. Take ownership. That's what it means to take ownership of something. I do think that Sandoval is starting to kind of try and get closer to Lala. He invites her to his breath therapy. So she doesn't say yes, though. She says, you know, let me sleep on it and I'll let you know if I'm going to come or not. Sandoval and his breath therapy is the next scene, though. The memes on this were absolutely hilarious. He sounds like he's having a breath orgasm. He says it's an emotional orgasm and they're like playing all this music. And then they're like, he's like, it was like a emotional orgasm. And they're like, it was hilarious. So Lala comes in as he's like screaming and like, it sounds like he's having sex in another room. I don't know if this works. I know that a few of the followers talked about it, saying that they've done it and it was extreme, to say the least. So I guess it is something that people are doing quite often. They said it's an LA thing, though. So definitely not something that we're going to see in other parts of the country. Lala does get there, so she does decide to come. She does not decide to come and participate, though. She did talk about it on her podcast. She just felt like that was something that she needed to be doing with somebody that she really cared about. And, you know, she's kind of starting at square one with him. So it was not the appropriate thing. Her hair is in a ponytail in every single scene. Is this because you cut bangs, Lala, and you don't like them? And I'm sorry if you can hear my stomach growling. I'm so hungry. But is this because you cut bangs? Because your hair is in a ponytail every scene. I don't know. He gets done with the breath therapy. They go outside. Everybody thought this scene was horrible. I think it's 100% a stage scene. I did like how real they were with each other. Like, Lala not being like, you were just really bad to Ariana. Her being like, it was deeper for me. You've been shitty to me for years. I was malice to you extra hard because I really don't fucking like you. I really didn't fucking like you. And she says it's not the start of a friendship. This seems like really it's the start of a friendship. And Tom even says it. Let's grow this friendship. Let's do this. But it did, I mean, it wasn't just the Ariana shit for her. It was more. And so for her, I think taking Ariana out of it is the way that she starts to grow from the things that she had before that and understand why she went harder than other people. I mean, I don't know. I'm picking at straws here, you guys. Something about her tasting, and man, they said, I think it was Kristen Doty said that she was like, man, they tore them the fuck up. And you guys were like, no, just Lala. No, Lala and James tore them the fuck apart. James was like, didn't we just do this last year? I mean, it's free sandwiches. I agree with Kristen and her guest. It was free sandwiches. And why the fuck would you complain about going to free sandwiches? The place is actually decorated now, so it is a little bit different. For me, though, I want to hear about the shit that's really going on with something about her. I'm sure at this point, contention is building with you and Penny because Penny does end up exiting something about her and taking the trademark with her. That's the thing. Whenever somebody is really in depth in Dancing with the Stars and VPR in Chicago across the country, they're not able to be present and they end up hiring other individuals to do things, and those things may end up being in their name, like a trademark. So trademark of something about her was actually put in Penny's name. And when Penny exited, she took it with her. So I know there was a little bit of a fight going on with that. And I know there's some stuff going on. And I want to hear about that. I want to see the contention. We saw contention with Greg and the guys. Why can't we see the contention with you and Penny? Does Penny not want to film that? Or do you guys not want to film that? Tell us that on the after show. Like, these are the things that I definitely don't know and I want to know 100%. I will say that there were like 17 soft openings for Schwartz and Sandy's. So there's no malice or ill intent from me when it comes to the tasting. I thought it was a lunch, actually, and I thought it was really well laid out. I think the place looks absolutely phenomenal. No doubt in my mind, the sandwiches are amazing. Lala was hating the fuck out of them in these confessionals and scenes. I feel like at this point, she's really upset with Katie and really upset with Ariana when she's doing these confessionals, and she's just looking at it from a different lens. I told one of the other creators, I feel like sometimes, because I've always been a Katie stan, and this season I'm just not feeling it. And maybe it's because I'm in my happy era, and I feel like sometimes we do portray some of our own feelings onto the characters that they are in the moment, in their reality. So I'm digging the happy era that anybody is in right now. So that's kind of where I come from, being different. There was a really crude joke by James to attest to the sloppy Joe of it all, and saying that he really does like a sloppy Joe. He ended up making merch out of this, and apparently Allie was pissed about it. I mean, it's bullying merch. He made sloppy Joe merch, and he didn't even get permission from the girls because he put theirs something about her. Or maybe that's going to be their change. They're going to change it to there's something about her because they can't have their, you know, something about her as their shop name anymore. I don't know. Either way, it was on his merch, and the merch was actually taken down, removed, and it was because Allie called him out on it being bullying and ridiculous. So he did say in his confessional, James, that he compared something about her to Tweedledee and Tweedledick's Schwartz and Sandys in taking so long to get open. The scene quickly moves directly from something about her to Sir after that, and Lala tells Ariana about going over to her house for the breath therapy and having that great, and I'm doing like air quotes, great conversation with Tom. You know, Ariana's not buying it. She thinks it's a way for him to just gain people in this group to get back in. You know, we've heard her say that she believes that's what's going on here. She's 100% right. He is gaining allies at this point to be able to be stronger enough to come into these situations and not feel like everyone in the room hates him. And maybe he is doing it to then turn them at some point. Because you see, she becomes friends with, or becomes better with Sandoval and becomes worse with Ariana quite quickly. Ariana does immediately tell her about Maya, and she does tell her she got locked up in the room and the vet had to do an endoscopy. They had to remove skewers, I guess, that were down inside of the box. It's just, again, it's just irresponsible. If this dog is that into, you know, that kind of shit, you have to make sure that everything is thrown away, is the dog is kenneled if you're going to leave. I will say that she said the bill was $6,000. He would probably pay for that bill. Or you can't get him to pay for anything because you won't pay any of the bills. And he's probably like, okay, I'll just take that off of what you owe me. Because right now it's he said, she said, back and forth. They take the sandwiches over to Lisa and Ken. He's like, again? So it wasn't just Lala. It was Lala, James, and Ken giving them shit. They do tell Ariana and Katie do tell Lisa about the Sheena kiss with Schwartz. And Schwartz comes over and gets annihilated quite quickly after he delivers their drinks and runs away. But he runs into the arms of Brock. He's like, man, I was getting roasted. I mean, I am roastable, but I was getting roasted about the kiss. And Brock just gets pissed. He's like, man, this is like, she's such a double standard that Katie got pissed off that he wouldn't keep it out of the friend group and had kissed Raquel. Or Rachel, and now he is like being annihilated for a kiss 10 years ago, and she's out here, Katie's out here fucking one of his good friends yesterday. So he proceeds to tell Brock about Katie and Max from the night before. And Sheena ensues in her confessionals about the locations and how she found out. And she says that, you know, she was looking to make sure he got home okay. She saw his location. Da 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 da. Here's my thing. There's a lot of things wrong with this. I literally just started sharing my location with my fucking family like 2 weeks ago. When I was in LA, that's when I started sharing my location with my family. And I've been on a lot of business trips. I've been out partying in LA or in St. Louis by myself on business trips and walked home. I don't know. It's just not a norm for me, but my daughter is, I feel like my daughter is a location skeleton. So I'm going to ask her how many locations she has. And then from there, I have to laugh because, you know, she sees that he's at Sheena and Kristen's apartment. She's like, it's not with Kristen because Kristen has a boyfriend. So he's with Katie. Oh my God, he's with Katie. He was there the next day too. So she knew immediately. And, you know, poor Schwartz, he's like, Max, Max, my buddy Max. Sheena gets pissed that Brock has told this. Like, so pissed that she goes over like a little kid and crosses her arms, making this huge scene. with them and this whole table of people who have come from the tasting, or from the lunch. I guess it was a dinner. Because it's dark outside. But she's really mad. And, like, here's my thing. Why isn't Ariana pissed at her, or pissed at Katie? She's not pissed at Sheena for being friends with Max. She's not pissed at Katie for fucking Max. And Max was complicit in this whole thing. Is she friends with Max Boyens? She was like, Max Boyens? Like, she's surprised that everybody's talking to him. So I feel like that definitely didn't go over with her well. But I also feel like it's a double standard. It's a double standard. Any which way we go, it's a double standard for friendships. It's a double standard for hookups. I don't know. We live in double standard city. It's just drunken hookups and revenge bangs in double standard city. I don't know. It's crazy. But that's kind of all I have for you guys this week. Thanks for joining me. Make sure and give us a follow. Like us, rate us, and engage in those comments on the clips that we share. Thank you so much for listening.